On behalf of all of us at St. Gertrude the Great, Katie's church family, I extend our very sincere sympathies for your loss to you, Katie's family, to all of her dear friends who are with us today. After the sermon comes the absolution, and after the absolution, then the burial follows at Old St. Joseph Cemetery, and then after that, you are all invited to a lunch in Katie's honor at the farm on Anderson Ferry Road, and I hope that many of you will be able to join us. I take my text from the prophet Isaiah, a reading that we had during the Advent season. He shall cast death down headlong forever, and the Lord God shall wipe away tears from every face, and the reproach of his people he shall take away from off the whole earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. And they shall say in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have patiently waited for him. We shall rejoice and be joyful in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord shall rest in this mountain, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, as straw is broken in pieces with the wain. And he shall stretch forth his hands under him, as he that swimmeth stretch forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring them down in his glory with the dashing of his hands. And the bulwarks of thy high walls shall fall and be brought low and shall be pulled down to the ground, even to the dust. Behold, the Lord cometh down with glory, and his strength is with him to visit his people in peace and to establish them in everlasting life. Behold, our Lord shall come with strength. And from the Gospel of St. John, that's read actually during Lent, Lazarus, our friend, sleepeth, but he spoke of the sleep of death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I think Katie would have liked a Christmas funeral. She loved Christmas. You know, they called her the Christmas lady at the library. She was all the time looking all year round for Christmas stories to read. And two of the librarians came across the street last night to the wake to express their sympathy. She loved Christmas and faithfully attended to all of these poinsettias all 40 days of it, trudging about the church with her water bucket in hand and a styrofoam cup to water them. She would never let them go thirsty, nor any living thing. The poinsettias start for us each year for the 8th of December, the holy day. We get a dozen or so white ones, and we set up an elaborate shrine in honor of Mary Immaculate on the other side of the sanctuary. Katie was our official shrine maker for each month's devotion and for the special days of the year. She had an artistic eye, Katie did. Well, I kidded her as we were getting ready for the Immaculate Conception, and we were discussing, now what should we do this year with these dozen large white poinsettia pots? You know, Katie, I said, in any other church in Christendom, they'd only have two, one on each side of the altar, and that would be that. Well, she liked that, and she wanted to know what church that would be, because maybe she would join that. And she was still chuckling about that Monday when she fell. She was on her way, actually across the street to the wholesale florist, to buy another can of that dusky rose spray paint, because after the Immaculate Conception, we'd spray paint some of the white poinsettias pink to use for Gaudete or Rose Sunday, which was our next observance. She was griping a little bit that morning, that Monday morning. She had her grumpy days, and my goodness, she was more than entitled to them. We only realize now how much pain she must have been in for a long time. She confided to someone once here at church that she had a high threshold of pain, and I do believe it was so. But she loved Christmas, and she was not entirely satisfied early this month with the way things were going. And somebody had taken her extension cords, her Christmas extension cords, and she was most particular about her Christmas extension cords, and she announced she was going to give Father Chicada a piece of her mind. I'm not sure why that would be Father Chicada and not me, but in any case, I'm always grateful to escape things like this. But you know, when it gets down to it, she would never have said a word. She was one of those old-time characters, probably like her parents before her. She could be gruff, but it hid a heart of gold. And she would do anything for you. She always claimed she never liked flowers, but she did have a knack for working with them. And we were talking last Christmas, and I was admiring a Christmas cactus that was in bloom, which we had gotten for one reason or another. And I said how much I liked it. And you know, she took that cactus home, and she nursed it all year long with the business about so many hours of darkness and so many hours of night, and she got it to blossom again. And without saying a word, she put it on my kitchen table. Now that is Katie. Well, she did love Christmas. And what would the stable be without animals? At the end, she had Cinderella, curious name for that dog she adopted from the shelter. And she had five cats on the inside, including the one she picked up outside of church on St. Pius the 10th day. And so she named him Pius, although he was not a very pious cat. And he is the one who got all the other cats going, usually racing all around the house. And then she had two cats on the outside, whom she and a neighbor lady watched out for. They were a wild bunch, her cats. And eventually, I think she had to put away everything, all of the lovely collectibles she had collected, all of her different Christmas scenes, her nativities. And she loved Christmas, but she loved God's little creatures more. Nor could she ever bear to see any of them suffer. We would frequently trade cat stories, Katie and I, at our daily visits in the sacristy. But I would never call Katie a cat lady, no. You see, she was a people person. She was one of those people of whom it may be said she never met a stranger. She had an interest. She had a kindness. She had a sympathy for everybody and everything. And if she was often at church, sometimes 7 days out of seven, she didn't mind. She did it, St. Joseph-like, very quietly, just for the love of God, those flowers and the watering and the altars and the shrines and ironing linens and polishing chalices and laying out vestments. But she did enjoy what I think must have been for her the major perk of the job. The people. Oh, she'd fuss a bit, but here we were all family together, and Katie could never bring herself to be 100% business. That's one thing I learned about her. She took her time. She knew how to live, because she knew how to listen. We chat, she was never in a rush. And when our work was over, I mean some exhausting sacristy Saturday. More often than not, it seemed to me, she'd go home and she'd get ready to go out someplace, to a concert or to a ballet or some other performance. After all, she grew up dancing. And I learned yesterday at the wake that once upon a time she was ballerina of the month. And I wondered where she got all of that energy all of those years, but I know she spent most all of it before the end. She had a right to be tired. She had earned her rest. Lazarus, our friend, sleepeth, said our Lord about his dear friend. And we have lost ours. A devout member of this church, she's one of the old-timers that goes all the way back to the struggle for the Latin Mass and for the old religion. She and her mother, Catherine before her, would go together from place to place for the Mass, and she would charitably and patiently give rides to church to old ladies and befriend all of them too. She was a faithful church worker, as you know. She was our co-worker here. She was family, and more, she was a friend. Friendship is a gift of God, but a trick not everybody masters. We're all so different anymore. Christian society, the once common glue of our Catholic faith, has dissolved. And alas, the modern ways and the next generation and the generation after them. Katie told me she would babysit sometimes, but she wouldn't let those kids get away with anything. She could be harsh and stern if she needed to be. There are so many differences among us anymore. Among us Catholics, I mean. And the more we have in common, it seems, the more keenly we feel our differences. Katie, and your presence here, filling this church this morning, shows it. Katie navigated very well those choppy waters. She did it with a seeming ease. What was her secret to having and maintaining so many enriching friendships? I think it was St. Joseph. She loved St. Joseph. It would not be too much to say she lived with St. Joseph. And we call him the silent saint. Oh, he spoke. He could hardly not have spoken. He was a husband. He was the head of a family. And he was a small town businessman in Nazareth. He talked all day long. That's how life goes on. That's how life works. But I think it was sort of Katie talks, small chats with people he met in the street or who came into the woodshop. But St. Joseph knew how to keep silent, and that's a rare quality in any age. Once Katie was telling me about some gathering or another of church people. Some real characters were there, vocal, certainly, maybe a little bitter. You know, the kind with an axe to grind. How do you manage it? I asked her. Well, she said, I don't say anything. When something controversial came up, there was just silence. So simple, but something deep is there. Self-conquest is the key, and that's the work of a lifetime, and that's the trademark of St. Joseph. That's the summing up of the lady we bury today. Hers was a rich life, but a simple one. And I think she just had those little chats with St. Joseph so often they became part of her. She just told him what she needed. She'd sit in the back of church during some of the Mass on the school days and say her rosary, maybe catch the sermon. And then she was off about some errands or lunch. I think she was partial to liverwurst sandwiches for lunch. Katie loved Christmas, but you know her dying almost 2 weeks of it, and so silent, and it seemed so slow, was in Advent. But I know the silent saint was with her throughout it all. Advent. We wear the purple vestments then. There are no flowers on the altar, and Katie liked that. Advent prepares us for Christ's coming, not just at Christmas, but at death. We prayed as we watched with Katie those last 12 days of her life. But they were Advent prayers, such as I've just now read to you, with longing and firm faith and a holy hope, a quiet confidence. What a promise. He, the child, shall cut off death forever. But our Lord wept when his dear friend died. But he went to him nonetheless. Even as Katie will one day, with the help of her friends here below, go to Jesus. We Catholics, we still pray for our dead as our fathers did before us and as Mother Church tells us to. But it is with a confident and a quiet Joseph-like hope. Like Katie, we couldn't bear to think of anyone suffering. When I made my goodbye to Katie the day before she died, I made a little speech at the end of what was in my heart. I wanted most of all to thank her. And then just as I was leaving, I said in a loud voice, because you must speak very loudly to people in a coma, I said, "Katie, remember Jesus and Mary and Joseph." And she stirred. And it seemed to me she said, yes, she would. Now, you remember her, our dear friend, in the faith which alone comforts and heals and gives life and gives life meaning. Otherwise, I don't know what you could possibly do. Katie, our friend, sleepeth, but it is Christmas, and our Lord is come to cast off death forever. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.